As the community gathers, it's wonderful to hear the conversation. Grace and peace to each of you as we gather today in the presence of Christ and each other. It is wonderful to invite Joni again to the pulpit. Of course, the end of last semester, she was slightly preoccupied with giving birth to a future Eastern Mennonite Seminary student. But I see that Maggie walked through the door. Maggie is with us, so she can cheer her mother on. It's wonderful to have you here too, Steve. You're part of the equation too. Joni, our assistant professor of preaching and practical theology, will share with us this morning on Jesus Makes a Way out of Luke chapter 4. So when she comes, we pray that our eyes and ears and hearts would be open. So in that line, pray with me. Christ, you are our teacher. You reach into our lives with the gift of your presence. So we ask that you would open our hearts to be attentive, that in seeing we may perceive, and hearing we may understand, in understanding we may act upon your word, because of your exuberant love in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I invite you to take your bulletin, and we'll read responsively the scripture out of Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. You read the bold print, I'll read the light. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying,
"Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations."
Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me,
"Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," says the Lord.
Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me,
"Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant."
The word of God for the people of God.
Our preaching text this morning comes from Luke chapter 4. Verses 21 to 30, hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here in your hometown the things that we heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is that there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks. One received the Nobel Peace Prize for leading a peaceful revolution in Liberia. The other lay dead in a grave, killed by an Taliban ambush. The outcome of their faithful acts could not be more different. But Lima Bowie and Glenn Lapp were both recognized by their alma mater, here, EMU, in the fall of 2011 as exemplars of faithful Christian witness. Both encountered intense resistance. Glenn Lapp was providing medical care, having traveled by jeep, horseback, and on foot when he was shot by the Taliban. His friends called him compassionate and humble. He described his own work as treating people with respect and love and trying to be a little bit of Christ in this part of the world. Soon after Lima Bowie graduated from high school, her family was caught up in a civil war that ravaged Liberia for 14 years. In the confusion of war, Bowie married a violent man. Starving, depressed, and pregnant, she left her husband and went from trauma victim to empowered survivor. She used networks in the church to organize women in an interfaith movement to end the war and bring about political change. Glenn Lapp and Lima Bowie's lives illustrate the deep cost of faithful discipleship in a world that is too often marked by violence and hostile resistance. Yet through the power of Christ, both experienced a sense of courageous calling beyond the ordinary into the unexpected. The unbounded love of God, who makes a way through every form of resistance, bringing life and hope and possibility to this world. These challenging stories of Lapp and Bowie reflect themes from today's scripture reading. Jesus' message is also met by resistance in his hometown. Our passage from Luke follows directly from last week's lectionary reading, where Jesus reads from the scroll of Isaiah, announcing good news for the poor, release to the captives, sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and the year of the Lord's favor. Now Jesus expounds, telling them that today, right now, this promise is being fulfilled in their presence. And for a few minutes, the hometown crowd could not be prouder. Pleased with his gracious words, they give each other discreet high fives and slaps on the back, quickly quieting down to hear what wonderful words Jesus will say next. Only Jesus doesn't. His words take an unexpected turn. Meeting resistance, as in the words of one biblical scholar, he splashes cold water on their eager anticipation. Jesus says, "You probably expect me to repeat here the things that you heard I did at Capernaum." The crowd quiets, high fives becoming puzzled glances. Jesus makes a good point. Indeed, where is the proof that what he says is true? Why don't they see any evidence? Luke does not tell us why Jesus will not display mighty power in Nazareth, but this is not the last time that Jesus' message will encounter resistance. You see, Jesus' message is not an easy or a simple one, and God's liberating power does not work in the ways that we might expect. This day, Jesus elaborates on his reading from Isaiah, trying to explain what it looks like when God overturns the world's power structures. God isn't just going to reach down a giant finger and smite Rome. Just as in the past, God's action often begins at the edges, at the fringes of society. Jesus continues, "Remember that major drought during the time of Elijah? There were many widows in Israel, but God sent the prophet beyond the community to provide for the widow of Zarephath and her son. Oh, and here's another example. Remember during the time of Elisha, there were many lepers in Israel, but God only cleansed Naaman, a Gentile. Women and Gentiles and dirty lepers. The good news of freedom, healing, and restoration is for those whom God chooses." Of course, a much fuller reading of these stories that Jesus names from 1 and 2 Kings does show that God's blessings do extend to Israel. But Jesus' words this day in Nazareth will set the tone for his entire ministry. Jesus' message will be met by resistance. It will never be an easy message for the world to hear, particularly for those of us who might have something to lose if the structures of power are overturned. This day in the synagogue, the crowd churns with rage. We can picture a few of them pounding their fists into their palms as the crowd encircles Jesus. Jesus makes for the exit, only to have the angry mob follow. They don't stop, pursuing him out of town to the very edge of a cliff, probably planning to stone him as a false prophet. 2 millennia later, Jesus' message continues to be met by resistance. The world cannot accept a God whose power is exercised in surprising ways, who refuses to follow the rules, and whose love cannot be bought or sold. The stories of Glenn Lapp and Lima Bowie are intense examples, but many of us have also encountered resistance as we seek to follow God. Maybe your family does not support your decision to go into ministry. They think the sacrifices are too great, that seminary is too expensive. They think you should be home, taking care of your children, or earning more money so you can better support yourself and your family. Maybe they are afraid of itinerancy, of giving up control over where you will live and serve. Maybe your life circumstances have made it harder for you to do ministry. Churches might shy away from hiring you because you're too young, too old, too inexperienced, too experienced, too married, too single, too male, too female, or not the right racial background. Maybe your own fears and insecurities are providing resistance. You don't believe that God can use you. You're ashamed of something from your past. You don't think you're smart enough, or strong enough, or outgoing enough, or a good enough preacher. This is part of what it means to follow God's call. Christ's message in the world will always meet resistance, and the path of discipleship is marked with adversity. We do not seek it out. Adversity in itself is not good or redemptive. In fact, it pains God when God's people suffer. But in the midst of a world still waiting for complete healing, liberation, and redemption, God's people have always suffered. Christian history is littered with stories of faithful followers facing resistance from biblical accounts up to the present, from the Apostle Paul to Polycarp, from Macrina and Perpetua to Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King Jr. To a group of 6 senior citizens huddled around a space heater in the library of Grand Avenue Temple in downtown Kansas City. They could no longer afford to heat their building. It was large and crumbling. In fact, parts of it were no longer even structurally sound because they could not afford the repairs to make them usable. This church used to be the place where all the important and influential people worshiped. Even its name, Grand Avenue Temple, sounds impressive. But flight from the urban core and shifting demographics had dwindled this congregation down to a small group. And now their congregation is letting them know that they can no longer provide financial support, and the conference has told them that they will have to close. This congregation is not only suffering, not only meeting resistance, but its very existence is in peril. These people might be able to imagine what Jesus felt like with his back against a cliff. But our gospel reading does not leave Jesus dangling over the edge of a cliff. Jesus is not overcome by violent resistance. He makes a way through the crowd to continue his ministry. And of course, this is not the last time that Jesus will make a way through resistance. Jesus will argue with leaders. He will cast out demons. He will walk on water and heal illnesses of all kinds. He will calm storms and he will feed crowds. The good news from Isaiah, proclaimed that day in the synagogue, is coming true in the midst of the people in amazing ways. Yet, we also know where this story is going. Christ's singular focus on God's will puts him at odds with both the religious and the civil authorities. Jesus will eventually face another angry crowd from the top of another ugly hill, Golgotha. But even death cannot stop Jesus. The powerful love of God makes a way through every form of resistance. Even the grave is no match for God. And this is good news for us. No resistance is powerful enough to stop God's will for our lives. Jesus has made a way through every barrier this world has to offer, making a way for us to follow him. Maybe you've encountered resistance for following God's call in your life, but Jesus tells us, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. You are blessed when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Maybe you don't think that you have what it takes to serve God in ministry, but Jesus is making a way for you so that the very things that count against you are the very things that make you an effective servant for Christ. Jesus is making a place for you in ministry. Your unique gifts and skills are just what is needed. And Jesus is providing support for your family and peace of mind so that they too can trust in him. Jesus made a way for Nobel laureate Lima Bowie. Jesus made a way so that she can stand as a survivor and a leader among the women of Liberia. In her darkest moments, the Holy Spirit guided her to scripture verses to sustain her. In a dream, God called her to pray for peace. She gathered other women, and Jesus stood among them as they prayed and sang along roadsides and demonstrated outside peace talks among warlords. Jesus has made a way for peaceful revolution in Liberia, leading to an end to war and the fair election of the first woman president. Jesus has even made a way for Glenn Lapp. His life story is a powerful tool of Christian witness. And because Jesus has overcome even death itself, the grave cannot hold Glenn Lapp. Death does not have the final say in his life. After many years of decline and resistance, Jesus has made a way for Grand Avenue Temple in Kansas City. The group makes a drastic decision, a decision to trust God. Instead of closing their doors, they open them to a new population in the urban core, urban sojourners, the homeless population, people without permanent addresses. The church invites these urban sojourners to worship with them, and Jesus makes a way for them in the form of a grant to start a feeding ministry and a clothes closet. Eventually, the church is able to hire former sojourners to work as volunteer coordinators. Other congregations from their conference send volunteers to help with meals and restoring the building. They hold a benefit concert to help restore the old historic organ in the sanctuary. You see, whatever resistance you face is no match for Jesus. Jesus is making a way for us, and nothing can stop us from following Jesus in our lives. I think the Apostle Paul puts it most eloquently. The sufferings of this present time are not even worth comparing to the glory about to be revealed. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Take just a moment to allow what we have just heard to find root in our hearts, to note the resistance in the Spirit of God who is present, Spirit of Christ who is making a way in that resistance. Just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, bless to us the words of your scripture, the articulation as we have heard it through Joni, that it might find root and fruit within our lives as your power leads us through resistance to claim your liberating power. Make a way within us as we hear and respond and choose to follow. Amen.